Sci-Fi Audio presents 1633 by David Weber and Eric Flint, narrated by George Waddell and directed by Abigail McHugh.
Part 1. That is no country for old men. Chapter 1. "How utterly delightful!" exclaimed Richelieu. "I've never seen a cat with such delicate features. The coloration is marvelous as well." For a moment, the aristocratic and intellectual face of France's effective ruler dissolved into something much more youthful. Richelieu ignored Rebecca Stearns entirely for a few seconds, as his forefinger played with the little paws of the kitten in his lap. Rebecca had just presented it to Richelieu as a diplomatic gift. He raised his head, smiling. "A Siamese, you call it? Surely you haven't managed to establish trade relations with Southeast Asia in such a short time. Even given your mechanical genius, that would seem almost another miracle." Rebecca pondered that smile for a moment while she marshaled her answer. One thing, if nothing else, had become quite clear to her in the few short minutes since she'd been ushered in to a private audience with the Cardinal. Whatever else he was, Richelieu was possibly the most intelligent man she had ever met in her life, or at least the shrewdest, and quite charming in person that she had not expected. The combination of that keen intellect and the personal warmth and grace was disarming to someone like Rebecca, with her own basically intellectual temperament. She reminded herself very firmly that being disarmed in the presence of Richelieu was the one thing she could least afford. For all his brains and his charm, the Cardinal was almost certainly the most dangerous enemy her nation faced at the moment. And while she did not think Richelieu was cruel by nature, he had demonstrated before that he was quite prepared to be utterly ruthless when advancing what he considered the interests of his own nation. "La gloire de France" was a phrase which rang splendidly, but, like a sword, had a sharp edge to those who stood in the way. She decided to pursue the double meaning implicit in the Cardinal's last sentence. "Another miracle?" she asked, raising an eyebrow. "An interesting term, Your Eminence. As I recall, the most recent characterization you gave the Ring of Fire was witchcraft." Richelieu's gentle smile remained as steady as it had been since she entered his private audience chamber. "A misunderstanding," he insisted, wiggling his fingers dismissively. Then paused for a moment to admire the kitten batting at the long digits. "My error, and I take full responsibility for it. Always a mistake, you know, to jump to conclusions based on scant evidence. And I fear I was perhaps too influenced at the time by the views of Father Joseph. You met him yesterday, I believe, during your audience with the king?" Another double meaning was buried in that sentence as well. Subtly, Richelieu was reminding Rebecca that her alternative to dealing with him was the rather childish King Louis XIII, or, even worse, the religious fanatic Father Joseph. The Capuchin monk was close to Richelieu and was also the leader of the harshly intolerant Catholic lay organization of France known as the Company of the Holy Sacrament. Rebecca controlled the natural impulse of an intellectual to talk. In this, as in so many things, her far less intellectual husband had trained her. Mike Stearns was a trade union leader in his origins, so unlike Rebecca, he had learned long ago that the best tactic in negotiations is often simply to say nothing. "Let the other side do most of the talking," he'd told her. "On average, I'd say anyone's twice as likely to screw up with their mouth open than closed." The Cardinal, of course, was quite familiar with the ploy himself. Silence lengthened in the room. For an intellectual, silence is the ultimate sin. So again, Rebecca found herself forced to keep it zipped. She took refuge in memories of her husband. Mike, standing in the doorway to their house in Grantville, his face somewhat drawn and unhappy as he bid her farewell on her diplomatic journey to France and Holland. The same face, she found this memory far more comforting, the night before.